I must be honest with you, as I stand before you this morning and the sermon that I want to preach and that God has laid on my heart, I on the one side feel unworthy to preach it because there's so much that I need to grow in still and that God needs to work in my own life. Yet, I want to be obedient to what the Holy Spirit is saying. And I mean, I was in a sense wrestling with God and saying, but Lord, I think you should send someone else to preach this message while you work on me first. That would be nice, you know, put me in seclusion, sort me out, and then come back. But I believe God just wants to stir our hearts and move even deeper into my life and your lives, because I think there is greater things that are yet to come, deeper things that we need to press into. And what God wants to do in this place, if we are not going to be ready for it, we're going to miss it. And if you can put up that first slide, my title slide, this is the title sermon is the Eye of the Beholder. Who of you have heard that saying, beauty is in the eye of the beholder? It's just me. Oh, shucks, eh? Just me that listen to these things. But beauty is in the eye of the beholder, they tell me. What does that mean? If beauty is in the eye of the beholder, on the one side it says that I'm looking at something specific, right? On the other side, it's saying that as the beholder, I am deciding what's beautiful. So, for those that are married, you know, we all as husbands say, my wife is the most beautiful wife in the entire earth. Sorry, boys, you lose. And that's true. Okay? So, I'm the pastor. I've got the mic. But beauty is in the eye of the beholder because my wife is beautiful to me. And she's beautiful to many people, I'm sure. But not all men think that she's beautiful. And that's fine. And we live in an era where, you know, we decide what is good and what is, you know, beautiful and all the rest of it. I guess the question that I have with as I prepared the sermon is what am I looking at? What am I beholding? What am I staring at? What is beautiful to me? What is beautiful to me? Now, I'm glad you asked that question because in Matthew 6:22, Jesus has this little sermon on the mount. I'm sure you would have heard, you know, Matthew 5, 6 and 7, Jesus is on the mountain and he's preaching some really significant stuff. I don't know when last you've read that three chapters, but quite powerful stuff that he says there. And I must be honest, I think we must sit still and just work through those three chapters again just to get what Jesus is saying to us. There's a lot in there. It is loaded. But sort of in you know, verse 22 of chapter 6, which is sort of in the middle of this whole thing, he has this little saying that he goes and he says the following things. In Matthew 6:22, he says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. So coming back to the eye of the beholder, if your eye is healthy, in other words, if you're looking at something, the word that they use there for healthy is also single. It's focused. Now, there is no point trying to work with electrical equipment, especially like a saw or something, and not being focused on what you're doing because you might go visit this young lady in the hospital having to repair you in the maternity ward. She'll put you back to original parts. But where she's in the hospital, you'll move in there because you're going to cut something off. I have got scars of using hacksaws and all sorts of interesting instruments. And then you lose a moment of concentration and then you cut yourself. And these things happen. Okay? But it says the eye is the lamp of the body. Now, what does a lamp do? It brings light. It causes us to see where we're going. So my eye needs to be right. Okay? Now, especially for men, your eye needs to be right. Because we know that men are created in such a way that we are stimulated by, especially by what we see. So watch it, boys. Watch what you're looking at. All right? So if your eye is healthy, your whole body. So your eye doesn't just affect your brain. If I look at the scripture, it affects my whole body. It touches every little thing, every part of me that I'm looking at and that I'm staring at, and it's going to affect my life. And then it carries on, of course, in verse 23, it says, but if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. Simple scripture. If your eye is bad, your whole body is full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So if I'm looking at the wrong stuff and there's darkness in my life, how dark is it going to be if I think that is the light? The problem with being deceived many a times is that you don't know that you're deceived, because you think what you're thinking is right. We've all been there. Have you ever had someone speak into your life and get you seen like that aha moment, that like, oh, shucks, huh? And we need that moment in our lives where God just speaks into your life and we get the light. The problem we face today is that we are looking for what we are looking for, seeing, focusing on. If that is the wrong thing, it's going to affect every part of our life. Now, this is tricky. Because if you think you're looking at the right thing and it's actually the wrong thing, then Houston, you have a problem. That is why Christianity in isolation doesn't work. We were never meant to be Christians on our own, yet solo meal, doing my thing. Because it's in a community like this where those that are around me goes, excuse me, you have a problem. What you're doing here is... it's not biblical. No, but I read that in the Bible. No, but wait. Read it in context. La, la, la. And they can help us to see the right thing. If we understand Matthew 6 verse 22 and 23 correctly, then what we see with our eyes makes or breaks us. You see, if it's good, there will be light. But if it's bad, there will be great darkness. And you can just probably think, maybe even of people around you, that you're thinking what is happening in their lives. I mean, we can just look at what is happening in the earth, and I don't know about you, but it's quite concerning seeing what people are actually pursuing and starting to believe and declaring as true, which tells me that what they are looking at, what they are seeing, what their eyes focused on is wrong. But they think it's right. And they will die for it because they think it's right. They will fight to death because these things. And we see that the light in them is actually darkness. The darkness is causing them to make wrong decisions. And listen, we've all been there. I mean, we see this world that, you know, it's all about my rights and what I want to do. And if I think it's cool and it's good to do, then it's fine. So if I think it's a good idea to slap you, you must just take it because I think it's a good idea to slap you. Right? But that's what the world is sort of, that's the slant. That's, also a bad example. But that's what it looks like. If I decide it's right, regardless of what you say, it's right. Because it's all about me and what I want to do. So what do we do? How do we make sure that our eye is right? That there's light, not darkness. That there's revelation, that there's understanding. That I know what I'm pursuing and I'm going in the right direction. How do I make sure that is? Again, a good question, because the verses, verse 19 to 21, helps us with this. Okay, what it speaks here of is that this thing will be the compass of your eye. We'll get there now. Rewind. Not yet. It will give you direction. It will make sure you stay on the right path. It will help you to ensure that your eye is right. And now we can go to that one. It says in verse 19, do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth. Now, on last week's... big group, I shared shortly on this. And I must be honest, when I shared it in the context of you know, having a heart for the lost and treasuring the lost. But if you go read the scripture, the context is not so much in that light. It actually says specifically what this is about. Okay, so let's read it. Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy. Now, you all know the scripture. And where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, what happens here is that in the houses that they stayed in at that time, it was actually quite easy to get entrance to whatever you had inside because they were all made of dried clay. Now, if you know anything about dried clay, it becomes quite brittle. So actually breaking through it is easy. So what Jesus is saying here is that when you are accumulating your treasures, don't put it in a place where they can get to it so easily. And moth and rust destroy and so on. And your treasure is not safe there. Don't put it in a place where it's easily decaying. Now, this treasure that he speaks of here, let's think about treasure here. If we think about treasure, how many movies has been made about treasure? What movie can you think of that's got lack of treasure in? Pirates of the Caribbean. Guilty? No? Sure. I mean, Pirates of the Caribbean, there's treasure in there. No? Okay, there's a lot of death too, but I mean, it's a weird movie movies. But it's about treasure. And I remember this one movie where they're on this heap of gold fighting, you know, and wanting to kill one another because they want this treasure. But this is the thing about treasure. Treasure is enticing. Treasure wants your attention. It draws you. It says, come this way. It's precious. Now, when I say precious, I think of Lord of the Rings, which my son now has caused me to watch. Yes, it's, yeah. We make weird movies these days. I mean, come on, that's rare. But in any case, and we've got, what's his, Gollum, ne? Gollum, who's got the precious, the ring. Ne? And he's completely enticed with this ring. Okay, we understand this ring has powers and all the rest of it. But I mean, he's like, he will kill for the, and he killed for the ring in the beginning. And he's like focused. And he actually died. Oh, if you have not seen the movie, I'm sorry. Some morsels, some up. Holding the ring, the precious, in his hand. It took his life. And the reality is where we are today, whatever your treasure is, it will take your life. It will guide your life. And this is the thing about treasure. Because if I decide something is my treasure, then I will give my everything for that treasure. And you can go look in history how many people has died looking for treasure. How many marriages has gone bust because of people pursuing treasure? And if you look at their lives, if you look at the legacy that they leave, then you can see what their life is saying about the treasure that they're pursuing. So obviously that brings me to my own question and saying, Quibus, but what will be the legacy of your life when you die and they put that stone there? What are they going to write on there that says, his treasure was doiki, doiki, doiki? What are they going to put on your headstone above your grave? What is the legacy that we leave to our children and our children's children? What are they going to see when they look at us? What treasure are they going to find? Now, if we look at verse 19, in the context of that age, the treasure they were speaking of there was consistent with clothes that they used to wear and many chains of, they actually, these Orientals kind of liked their pomp and, You know, they wanted to look good, and the more good they looked, the more wealthier they looked. They almost want to say they wore their wealth. Their treasure was on them. They would walk around in it, and you would know if someone was really rich because they had all the bling. Not just a gold chain and rings and a pants that hangs here and stuff. I mean, not like they wear it today. I mean, these guys were dressed. And remember, their fine linen and stuff that they wore at that stage was very precious. They looked at that stuff, and that was the stuff that they guarded. Now, many of them were nomadic, and they were traveling and stuff, and I guess guarding your stuff there would have been quite difficult, and then that's where the digging the hole comes and put it in, you know, your tent and all the rest of it. But that's how they carried what was precious to them around. So when it speaks about don't lay up for yourself treasures, it's actually speaking about the stuff that we're gathering, the stuff that we value on this earth, that we are putting in our tents, we're putting in our banks, we're putting in our garages and all these things. This is our treasure, and we're protecting it with all that we are. So if that's the wrong one, what's the right one? Now, the treasure here means that to have made provision for yourself for your eternal happiness. I'm not sure if that I put that on there. Yeah, does it? Okay. It means to use all my strength and spend all my days providing for eternity. Whoa, Quibus. Whoa, stop the lorry. Stop the lorry. Are you saying we should only work for what is in heaven one day? So I must not gather anything right now. I don't know. I'll tell you just now. You see, my pursuit of this treasure should be, my main aim should be to get to that place where I am fully prepared for eternity. And if I look at that, it is so contrary to what we find in our earth today and what we are taught. So, I don't think this means that I shouldn't accumulate stuff on this earth. Because let's be honest, if we look at the Bible, we see guys like Abraham and Job and David and Solomon, who are described as very wealthy people. And if you go look at it, it was God who actually blessed them, and they had a lot. They were considered to be blessed. These guys were loaded. So it doesn't mean, I don't think it means that I shouldn't be a good steward on earth, that I shouldn't steward my finances and work hard and make things happen. I think it's a problem when my treasure shifts. You see, it's a problem when the stuff that I'm accumulating becomes my treasure. It's a problem when I start holding on to them more than what I should. When it becomes the thing that governs my time, my resources, my focus, my passion. See, if I accumulate stuff, and I'm sure you can think of people around you that it's so about the stuff that which they're pursuing is only there. Their time, their focus, their passion, everything is driven by the treasure that they are pursuing, because that's what's happening. In Luke 12:33, it's basically the same portion of scripture, except he adds this, and he says, sell your possessions and give to the needy. And when I think of my treasure and I think of what I'm accumulating, I guess a good test will be is to see if I am willing to sell my stuff and give it to the needy. Oh, nee, wacht nou, Kobus. Now this is getting a bit close to home, you know. How can you expect me to sell my stuff? And in preparing, when I was thinking about this, I had to think about Luke 14:26-28, and it says, count the cost of being my disciple. Count the cost of being my disciple. And part of this portion is, if you go read it in Matthew 6, is that it says you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve both of them. You have to choose. And in saying that, I guess I'm opening a huge can of worms when it comes to finances and how we distribute it in the kingdom of God and how we actually apply it to achieve what God's agenda is on this earth. Now, obviously, we want to steward that money as best as we can to accomplish what God wants us to do. But I think for us today, we need to choose. In Matthew 22, verse 37 to 40, it says this, and he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So what should my treasure then be? What should my treasure be? I think this scripture sums it up to me. It's interesting, when they asked Jesus, what is the most important thing, he said, of the law, he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your strength. Now, go do the study. Go sit down and read and study what it means to, with all your heart, your mind, and your strength. My first focus should not be accumulating the riches of this world, because the reality is, when each of one us here dies, someone else spends it. You can put as many money in that bank as you want, now. You can be as stingy as you like. But the moment you die, there's a whole bunch of people standing. Ooh, easy money. You don't get to spend it. Okay, leave an inheritance for your children's children. So be wise in how you make it out in your will where that stuff should go. But, and I'm not saying spend everything that you have. I think, again, I want to get to the point is, if my treasure is to love the Lord my God with all my heart and my strength, then my treasure is what His treasure is. Then His treasure is people, is eternity, being with Him. And then he goes on and he says, the second is like this, is that I need to love my neighbor as I love myself. Now, we've just done a bit of a missions week. Here ons ook 'n groter venue, asseblief, in die naam van Jesus. Met toilets daai kant vir die kinders, asseblief. Amen. Thank you. Yes. But if we look at, we think of God's heart. If we think of God's actions, can we say where His treasure is? I think it's very clear that it says, for God so loved the world that He sent His only Son to die for those, for His neighbor, for people. So how do we love? What do we choose as our treasure? I think this is what we should choose as our treasure, because if I choose God, if I pursue God, that will actually influence all my decisions. It's going to touch my time, my resources, my passion. It's going to touch every part of my being. It will change the way that I live, because my treasure is in the right place. In John 14:15, it says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Again, treasure. If we love God, we will keep His commandments. We will listen to His instructions, and we will do those things. You know, Kobus shared so can I say bravely, and he was quite vulnerable last week in sharing, you know, how do you reach, you know, how do you get that balance to reach these people? I think if my treasure is in the right place, and if my wife's treasure is in the same place, our heart will be the same. If the family's treasure is in the same place, we will pursue the same thing. And we will be willing to die for it. Because that's what God does. And he says, no greater love has any man for anyone else than to lay down his life for his friend. That should be our passion. So, in choosing our treasure, what do we do? And I want to sort of close with this. I think the first thing for me is decide this day whom you will serve. Decide today where you will focus as far as your treasure is concerned. Now, I think for me, I've been serving God for a long time, but it's like every now and then God just saying, can we just go a bit deeper? And I found in sitting and preparing for this, having to ask myself some straight questions, having to be honest with myself to recalibrate what my treasure is. Because it's easy, and this is what I found, it's easy to say, no, but it's God. My treasure is God. I've been serving him for so long. He is my treasure. And then I want to maybe just go sit down and take a pen and take a day or a week or whatever and just allocate your time to different things. And then when we say missions week, how much time did you allocate to that? If we pursue God as a congregation, for instance, doing something, many people won't engage it. Where is their treasure? Where is my treasure? Our treasure should be where God's treasure is. Now, I must confess, we weren't really part of the missions week because we were away this week. But it was so cool seeing all the photos and so on of what's happening here. It is really encouraging to see the outreaches. The stuff in the police stations and so on was rather cool. The hospital and the braai, I don't know how the braai went, was Cheslin, was it gewin? So I guess it went well, right? Okay. But this is more of this, more of pursuing God. And then I guess the question is, what is your eye beholding? What is your eye fixed on? What are you determining to be value to yourself? What are you looking at that it becomes your treasure? If it is God, then serve him with all your heart, your mind, and your strength. That's huge. Love your neighbor. Love them. Care for them. I think the challenge is still, we all live in a neighborhood. Do they know you there? Do you love your real neighbor that's right next to you? That's good. Still love him. Okay? And then, the commands of God. Treasure his word. Know them. Meditate on them. And do them. Meditate on them day and night and then do them. So I think we all have to answer a question. And this question is tough. That next slide. Where is my treasure? Here on earth or in heaven? You know, I found that it becomes so easy about the stuff. It's so easy to start worrying about the stuff that I don't have. And there's a series of, Andy Stanley, that we're going to do in the small groups. So maybe in testing, maybe I should ask the question. Who of you here think that you are rich? Are you rich? I mean, are you really rich? I'm not talking spiritually now. Who of you think that you are rich? Oh, it's going to be a good series. Oh, I'm going to visit small groups then. Huh? Okay, we're going to do that series very shortly. Because this is the reality. None of us think we are rich, right? Arme ons. Ai, jette, ons is so broke. Nee, niemand het geld nie. Ons is arm mense. We're going to do that series. But where is your treasure? Where is your treasure? Where are you accumulating the most stuff? Just a thought that pops in my head. I think if it's about my treasure and I have to look at the amount of stuff I have here on earth and I look at the amount of stuff that I actually have in my heavenly storehouse, what would the difference be? Will that one be empty? Will it have three things in? Compared to my nice house and my car and my clothes and my Levi's and my... What's on a brand store? Off-white. Wat is so'n brand is dit? Nee, sies man, dis net vuil wasgoed. But where is my treasure? And listen, I cannot tell you. And maybe your treasure is in the right place. Maybe you are really pursuing God. You've abandoned yourself completely. And I trust that all of us are there. But I think it's a good season for us in saying, God, can I just sit down and maybe check where my treasure is? When I go to work, where's my treasure? What am I pursuing with this life? Where am I accumulating stuff? I read a sermon by John Piper on this, and I tell you, I was challenged. So because he spoke about it in the context of finances, which the scripture actually is, and he started pulling this apart, and he started quoting scripture where Jesus very bluntly says stuff that I went like, whoops. And maybe we're going to look at that after Jan Kor somewhere. Because I can't suffer alone. I mean, it needs to come to you as well, right? But I was so challenged in just when I look at scripture and how it instructs me actually how to work with my finances and what I'm accumulating on this earth. It is scary to think what God's agenda will be for my finances as opposed to myself. In any case, we'll speak about that another. But I want to close with a scripture. And we all quote this scripture quite a bit, Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And can I just say, after this portion of scripture, Jesus actually speaks a lot about don't worry. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry what you're going to eat. Don't worry what you're going to wear. He actually takes on our daily life as to the things that we are worried about. And we're stressed about. And we spend thousands on to try and provide for ourselves. And he says, don't worry about these things. And then he ends with this, which is the scripture we so often quote outside of context. And it's actually in the context of finances and our daily living. He says, but seek first. Make sure your treasure is in the right place. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek what God is doing. Be aware of what he's doing in your life so that your treasure will be in the right place. I think for most of us it is true that our intentions is right. Let's just make sure our actions line up with our intentions. And again, I'm as challenged with this as what I trust you are too. It's to sit and reevaluate and say, but Father, what am I about? Where am I building? What am I accumulating? Where? There was a preacher once that, what's his name? Kobus van Rensburg. Kobus van Rensburg took his salary every month and gave it away. Now, I'm not there yet. But what we saw in his life is that man had too much stuff. Because God is no man's debtor. So I guess Who better to make provision for my future than the one who created me, than the one who says it's my Lord? So go sit down this week and maybe just reevaluate where your treasure is. If you come out tops, that is great. Then disciple others to do the same. If there's something the Holy Spirit is putting his finger on, deal with it. But whatever you do, don't not change this week. Don't stay the same. Don't allow the enemy to rob you of great blessings that God wants to pour out on your life. And may we accumulate the treasure that he has on his heart. Amen. Let's stand. So, Father, we stand before you this morning, Lord, and I thank you for your word, God, that cuts through bone and marrow, that is sharper than any two-edged sword, Lord God, that is so real and so powerful, that it deals with things in our lives, Father. And I know, Holy Spirit, even as Ada was ministering, you were touching hearts and you were speaking to us, Lord God, to pursue the things that you want us to pursue, to have our treasure with you, Lord God, in heaven. God, I pray this morning that there will be an even greater shift in our hearts, that you will become the treasure that we pursue. That, Lord God, we will love the Lord our God with all our mind and all our strength and with everything that is in us. That we will be focused, Lord, more on you than anything else. Because, Lord, you are worthy. You are so worthy. God, there's nothing that can compare with you. I pray this morning, Lord God, that we will have that moment where everything fades away in the light of your glory, in the light of who you are, in the light of your presence. God, may everything that is stealing our time and robbing us of what you want for us, Lord God, may those things just fade away. May they become like mist before the sun, Lord, and just evaporate, just disappear. And may you open our eyes this morning that we will clearly see you. Through all the fluff, through all the stuff, God, that they will fade away and that we will see you. This morning, Father, we want to declare that we want to have treasure in heaven. Lord, I thank you for everything that you've blessed us with, everything that we have, everything, God, that through your blessing in our lives we have been able to accumulate. But I pray, Father, that those things will never become our treasure, that we will use them for your glory. God, that we will be obedient in your instruction, Father God, as to how we should steward them. I pray this morning, Father, that we will even move from a worldly way of stewardship to a godly way of stewardship, Lord God. We will understand your plans and your purposes for what we have. May we come to a place this morning, God, where we abandon everything and we cling to you. And we cling to you, God. For you alone are the one that gives life. You are the only one that we must pursue. I pray for us, Father, that we will all love you with all our hearts, our minds, and our strength. God, and that we will go where you send us. Father, if you want to send us to be a blessing to someone, that we will have the finances, that we will have the abilities and the tools and everything that we need to fulfill what you're instructing us to do. God, if you command us to plant a church, Father God, that there will be no lack to do that, Lord, because our treasure is in the right place. Father, if you say that we need to build a building to gather people to worship you, that we'll be able to do that. If we need to go on missions, Lord God, and send people places, Father God, even pay for missionaries to go, Father God, that we will be able to do that because our treasure is in the right place. that God, we will not be in that moment found that we are holding so on to what we have accumulated that we will not be able to give. I pray this morning, Father, that you will loosen our hands on what we have. Holy Spirit, help us to relax our hold on the things of this earth, which Solomon so aptly called vanity. It's got no eternal value. Help us to steward it, Lord God. Help us to be obedient to your Spirit. Again, Father, thank you for your blessing upon our lives.